Meeting to order, and first order of business is the Pledge of Allegiance.
The Pledge of Allegiance is to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, all those with public comment, come on up and have a seat on the bench up here, please. All those with public comment, come on up and have a seat. That it? Ladies first.
Hi, I'm Marilyn Miller from the River District. I would like to congratulate the commissioners, the judge, the CGID, and the school district representatives. And today I want to direct my comments to the commissioners. I'm extending an invitation to you to have your commissioner meeting sometime, one, two, three times a year, whatever you'd like to choose, in the River District, in Rainbow Bend and Lockwood at the community center. We have a large enough facility that would accommodate this, and I'd like to extend that invitation to you. It would just open up all of the county to everybody that's in your county. And I'd just like to throw that out to you, and thank you so much for your time.
Well, I thank you for your invitation. Let me point out one thing regarding that. State law says that commissioners' meetings must be held in the county seat within 10 miles.
I wondered, but I wanted to throw that out.
Your comments are taken quite seriously by me, and I think that there is probably some way that we could do something up there, not necessarily a commissioners' meeting, but will let us look into that, please.
Sure, we'd like to get to know you guys a lot better than we do now.
I agree. I think that once every 6 months or something, it would be a good idea.
Great. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. Mark, come on up. What you got for us?
Good afternoon, new Board of County Commissioners. It's Monday, the 7th of January, 2013, 2 o'clock p.m. And Commissioner Chauvin, again, I'd like to start by correcting you on statute. Statute requires one meeting a month at the county seat, so statute would allow meetings at other places. But the public comment I prepared today, I got three items. First of all is a violation of open meeting law that happened this last Saturday down at Mark Twain Firehouse, 1 o'clock. Commissioners-elect Mr. Gilman and Mr. McBride showed up for what would have been a great meeting, except for our current commissioner, Bum Hess, showed up, which made that meeting a quorum. And I quote open meeting law manual of subchapter 3.06, members elect of public bodies, and court has upheld, it's Hugh versus Stembridge has upheld that members elect to gather with impunity behind closed doors and make decisions on matters to soon come before them in clear violation of the purpose, intent, and spirit of open meeting law. So,
could you tell me, please, what decisions were made down there?
There's a recording of the meeting, and I feel obligated to take this to the AG's office.
Did they make a decision on anything?
Yeah, let me quote open meeting law opinion 99-06.
Did those members present make a decision?
Well, I'm glad you weren't there, Commissioner Chauvin. That would have been a disaster. I'm stating that Commissioner Hess.
Anything else for us?
Okay. So I'm turning in.
All right. Do you have any
evidence with my receipt? I would like the record to reflect.
Thank you very much for your comments.
No, I got two more things here.
Thank you.
Okay, you have some more for us.
Important to me is statements of financial disclosure. All of you have a statement of financial disclosure due by the 15th of January, and I would like everybody to be a little more honest and clear than they were in the statements they filed earlier this year. And last but not least, in the coming year, y'all didn't witness it personally, but a couple years ago, we had a knockdown, drag-out, heated battle about appointment of pro tem justice of the peace. Right now, we have a list of pro tem justice of the peace, and it's only one man, Jim Miller, so that the public would like the new Board of Commissioners to possibly add another name or two to that list, so that our new Judge Harrington would have a list of more than one. Thank you.
Okay, moving right along. Discussion on action on the approval agenda for today. We have a couple of changes here. And let me go through here and I'll. Item number 7 will be continued. We have some corrections to make on the November 13th minutes. And item number 17 is taken off the agenda. And item number 18 will be not discussed today. I'm going to continue that item to a future meeting.
Mr. Chairman, if I might clarify also, item number 16, the wording is probably not as clear as I would like it to be. The applicant, Mr. Gaines, has indeed had a work card denial under provisions in our brothel license, but this is not a brothel work card per se. It is a work card that's required because he is an employee on brothel property. He actually works for Wild Horse Saloon. So I wanted the record to be clear with that.
All righty. And I think that's all I've got. Did I catch them all?
I believe so.
All righty. Then I'll, yes, Mark. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Once again, the 7th of January, 2013, I'm speaking to item number 4. This is discussion before approval of agenda. And my big concern today is the wording of agenda item number 5. The district attorney and Commissioner Schovangen and I have had the conversation before. NRS 244.070, that subchapter, is the election and term of office. Okay, the appointment is not accurate and not true. Appointment should be changed to election. And item number 5 should also include the term of the chairman and vice chairman when the election is made. Thank you. For the record, I'm asking that the agenda item number 5 be amended to include election and term of office.
I think that's a reasonable request.
What's wrong with Mr. Maddox's?
Well, the statute does say election, okay. So there wouldn't be anything wrong with that. But as long as you substantially comply with the requirement, he is right that you have to designate the term of the person that you're electing to be the officer.
And these traditionally have been 1 year.
And then we ought to
1 year designations, and we address it on the first meeting each year. And then, Mr. Chairman, I'd also like to add, I thank Mark for looking at some of the omissions. I would need to add, as we practically seem to do every year under item 6 on the appointments to serve on state, county, and regional boards, in my absence, I forgot to put on the traditional one for oversight of public works, fire, and community development. So that needs to be added as a 19. we have had, and we want to amp this up big time over the next year or so. We would like to add a committee designation for economic development and have one commissioner serve on that. And then that transition from NNDA to EDON somehow got dropped. So we also need to designate an item 21 as a county appointment to serve on the Economic Development Authority of Western Nevada, EDON.
And, okay, 19, 20 is...
Economic Development.
Development, and 21 is EDON.
And I'll walk you through each of those.
Okay, we'll go through those when we get. Okay, anyone else got anything on? Okay, I'll entertain a motion to approve.
Motion to approve the minutes.
The agenda.
Second that.
Okay, I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
And,
aye.
Motion is carried then to...
You probably want to vote on the record, too. So, yeah, it's a little bit of an aye.
Aye.
Sorry.
Okay, item number 5 is election of chairman and vice chairman to the Story County Board of Commissioners. Gentlemen.
At this time, Mr. Chairman, I move to elect Commissioner Shevagin as the chairman for a one-year term.
I second the motion.
I have a motion. I have a second. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, and vice chairman.
At this time, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to elect Marshall McBride as the vice chair, to serve for a term of 1 year.
Very well, I'll second that. And all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay. Good with that, Mark?
And that we should clarify, that's for a 1 year term?
All right. Yes, let's, okay, and those are, again, our 1 year terms. Let's move along then, appointments to the various state and county regional boards, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I'll let Pat go through that. So I think he's got a...
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We had a number of options, particularly with the new board coming on board. Yeah. So I want to spend a little bit of time on each of these, talking about the purposes of the committee and their functions, so that the new commissioners in particular and the public know, you know, in broad-based terms of their needs. You may, at your discretion, decide to vote on each of these individually, or based on specific recommendations I'm going to give you, I would defer again to either Mr. Morris or Mr. Maddox. I believe we can vote on this package as a whole, and I will be very clear and specific as to who staff is recommending to fill each of these. Is it your pleasure to take these as a whole?
I would.
Okay. All right, I'll continue that way then. Item number 1 for the County Board of Equalization. This is a statutory process that Janet said, and our assessor is here, and if you need more explanation, she can explain where it comes into play. But basically, it's kind of an independent check as to the processes that our assessor's office and our appraisers use in determining how properties are valued. It can be up to a two-step process, clearly outlined in statute, that everyone that has property taxes has the right to appeal assessed values, and this is the first step in the process. You take it to a county board of equalization that constitutes one elected official and two members of the public at large. There is a step beyond that that they can take too, and has to go to the state boards. This is a critical board that they understand properties, values, numbers, and particularly some of the complexities and quirkiness of even historic buildings when it comes to Virginia City. So staff recommendation, we currently have Doug Walling starting his third year of a four-year term. These are four-year appointments. Doug Walling is starting his fourth year. Nick Fain came in to fill in for Joe Curtis last year. So he was appointed to a four-year term. So he is. They are both on there. And staff's recommendation, by the way, you're required by statute to not only designate who the board is, but designate who the chairman of the board is as well. So staff would recommend that Marshall McBride be the county's designee on the Board of Equalization.
And that's the first one.
And to serve as their chair. Safety committee, this typically is done primarily by staff. This is an internal group that's focused. We take one designee from each office, and past commissions have pretty much gone to every elected official and said, you will participate in this process or we'll have a chat about it come next budget time. And it's been a very productive committee. It's been headed under the leadership of Shannon Gardner through Dean's office. And he's done a great job, and then supported by Vanessa. And it's been a great success over the last couple of years under their leadership. And staff's recommendation is to continue with Shannon as chair and Vanessa as vice chair. Legislative committee, this is really kind of a very informal focus as to who's going to lead the ship on legislative matters. It is really an overall team effort. And when we get to staff reports, I'll even indicate how I'm looking at structuring that approach. But we need one captain of the ship to really pitch in and be down there whenever we need it. And it's not to say that the other two commissioners or myself or any department head won't be down there as well. But on the legislative committee, staff recommends that our now chair, Bill Chauvangan, head that effort. Again, with the entire team also along as equal players. Item number four, the historic Fourth Ward School and Museum Board. This has been under the able participation of Chairman Chauvangan, if you get used to that, for the last 2 years. And it's done great things. So staff would recommend that Chairman Chauvangan be appointed as the county's designee on that board. Nevada Association of Counties, this was headed for many, many years by former Commissioner Kershaw, who's out there somewhere today, relaxing in the loges. And also prior to that by Commissioner Flanagan and others. I think, again, this is one of those that having our chair in there representing us with the other 16 counties in the state is important. So staff's recommendation is Chairman Chauvangan take lead on the NACO. However, we also frequently just list a second partner so that the record's clear. Over the past couple of years, on the rare occasions that Bob Kershaw could not make NACO, he got a great substitute in Austin Osborne. So staff is recommending kind of a substitute replacement when Commissioner Chauvangan, Chairman Chauvangan is not available of Austin. Nevada Works, this is a good employment-based group, and Commissioner Gilman has expressed an interest in it. And again, this is another one of those that they seem to sometimes pick meeting dates that conflict with other meeting dates. So Commissioner Gilman, with your nod, we'd like to give you a secondary support person as well that you can lean on. And that, again, would be Austin Osborne. He's done some great work with this group and loves them. So. Virginia City Senior Center, again, these are only recommendations. You guys can clearly make whatever you want. We've determined, although we encourage all of our commissioners to sit in with them, to participate. The Virginia City Senior Center was one of the many factors that led to the initial development of Denny Dotson's job. He was to get out there and be a community liaison with all of our partners. In fact, it worked so good with the Tourism Authority that, it's blossomed. But under the Senior Center, we would recommend that Denny Dotson continue as the primary designee. And again, like the Legislative Committee and everything else, this is one of those that you guys are not only welcome but encouraged, because we give strong financial support to particularly the Virginia City Senior Center. Lockwood Senior Center has, again, had kind of similar quasi-staff support. The staff support that we really mostly lean on out there is through Maggie Lowther. You know, again, Denny helps when necessary on premises issues, and Mike and everybody. But Maggie Lowther has been that. And then I'd also strongly suggest, since we have more clearly defined districts now, that this would also be a good committee for Commissioner Gilman to serve on as well. So that would be a partnership between Maggie Lowther and Lance Gilman. Number nine, St. Mary's Arts Center. That has been under Chairman Chauvin's leadership for 2 years and done well. So number nine's designee would be Chairman Chauvin. Number 10, Western Nevada Development District. Dean Haymore has done a phenomenal job with that. Is well respected. In fact, he's been their chair for at least 2 years and possibly more. I can't see him. There he is. And hopefully he can continue on in that position, because we get good things. These are the guys that helped us find the Tunnel 6 ARRA monies for the bond subsidy. So staff's recommendation is Dean Haymore for WNDD. Carson Water Subconservancy, this is a, we are not a participating agency per se, but we're a support agency to them. We don't participate because we don't want to pay taxes. You know, we do have some issues with the Carson River because our Mark Twain in particular and drainage, you know, that is into that basin. And having a voice at the table does help us. We just don't have a vote. That has been under Austin Osborne's leadership for the past 2 years. She loves them, and they're about as dry as toast sometimes. So I would strongly recommend you leave that with Austin Osborne.
Thank you for throwing yourself under the bus.
State Land Use Planning Advisory Council, this is actually a very dynamic group, and it is a great tool for Austin in the performance of his job. That one is probably, pardon me, but the biggest no-brainer around. We'd recommend Austin Osborne for that one. The Washoe Story Conservation District. This is a group that's struggling with funding, but again, occasionally we can turn to them for mutual items of help. They've helped us in the past, I believe, with a white top abatement, with those types of programs. So Austin, again, has participated and helped as best he can, given some of their struggles. So we're recommending Austin Osborne for number 13, Washoe Story Conservation District. Natural Resources Conservation Service, this is a USDA-driven group, kind of a secondary role, really, to tell you the truth, but Dean Haymore has led that one, and it does kind of go hand-in-hand, you know, with some of the WNDD stuff and whatnot, so we'd recommend Dean Haymore for that one. The Truckee River Flood Project Coordinating Committee, or TAC, it has been in the past under a partnership between Austin and Commissioner Kershaw, former Commissioner Kershaw. And we would recommend, since the Truckee River is right in Mr. Gilman's backyard and his entire district's backyard practically, that, well, other than exclusive of Mark Twain, I apologize for that, that be a partnership shared between Lance, between Commissioner Gilman and Austin Osborne. Comstock Historic District, I probably can't say this one without smiling. When I first came to Virginia City years ago, there was a patriarch on that commission that I think did more for the historic district as a whole, both Virginia City, Gold Hill, and Silver City, and parts of Dayton. He has since passed away. Again, Commissioner Kershaw did a great job, you know, being our county designee, but we now need to take advantage of kind of Bob's departure, and also of reestablishing history and putting Don McBride's son on that committee. We recommend Marshall McBride. Nevada Commission for the Reconstruction of the VMT Railway, we really need, you know, strong leadership on this one because they owe us a ton of money. And Commissioner Chauvin, Chairman Chauvin now, has served us very well on that commission. Staff's recommendation is to continue with Chairman Chauvin there. The Virginia City Convention Commission. Okay, we would like to correct that in there as well. This is not the VCCTA anymore. This is the VCTC. And again, Chairman Chauvin has served on that in his 2 years and also has deep background as staff. We do know this is going to be one that our commissioners will probably be there for their own private leadership interests as well, but not on a board basis. And we would nominate or recommend that you approve Chairman Chauvanian on the VCTC as well. Oversight of Public Works, Fire, and Community Development. This is one I'm going to shut up after two more after this and let you guys work this one out. Technically, organizationally, the Board of Fire Board of Commissioners oversees fire and then delegates a lot of that to me and obviously clearly to Chief Hames. Public Works, again, primarily really comes to me through the organizational structure and community development. But this is just kind of, you know, another set of eyes up there, you know, one person that kind of has a special interest. I've received requests from two commissioners to number one, have this placed back on the board, and two, with some justifications. Commissioner Gilman is interested, and also Vice Chairman McBride is interested as well. So I'll let you guys kind of work through the pluses and minuses of that one, or draw cards or flip a coin. There is, I would probably tell you, you know, looking at how we've got some of these scattered out, if I were to make a nod and a recommendation, and I've not talked with either of the commissioners about this, I think Vice Chairman McBride's proximity to the base of operations, this is not to say that it isn't important that we get our roads plowed in Mark Twain or on Cartwright in Lowstown in the Highlands, and clearly for those Walmart trucks out in the industrial park, as we discussed this morning. But I would probably have a tendency to say if this is a 50-50 shot, I would make the recommendation with due respect to both commissioners, probably to Vice Chairman McBride. Number 20, economic development, and this is why, rounding out the last two. Economic development, we've had an internal group. We want to put that on steroids, like I said, in a number of ways this year, and really make things go. We're looking at the legalities of internal incentives, tax districts, similar to what Reno cobbled together for Apple. By the way, is apparently not coming together very well right now, according to the RGJ this morning. But we really want strong leadership here, and Commissioner Gilman has stepped up to the plate and said he would love to participate, and that, again, is an absolute no-brainer. And then the Economic Development Authority of Western Nevada, again, I have served primarily because we had a lot of committee assignments out there that were done differently under the previous commission. Lance, again, has expressed a keen desire. I've discussed this in concept with Stephanie Cruz, who's the current chairman of the board of EDON, as well as Mike Kazmierski, the staff and president of EDON, and Stan Thomas, our leader when it comes to new business development attraction, and I'm very pleased to suggest that Lance, Commissioner Gilman, excuse me, sir, should also take lead on EDON, and again, I'll be there to support as the dean and anybody else along the process. So economic development headed by Commissioner Gilman and EDON headed by Commissioner Gilman. So those are recommendations, and I think the only one that I have, you know, given you on kind of a soft lob would be the oversight of Public Works, Fire, and Community Development.
Okay. Pat, I'm going to recommend that and nominate Marsh McBride for that position, especially in light of the fact that under the community development, there'll be a fair amount of work with PRI, and I believe it's appropriate that Marsh McBride is an arm's length commissioner there, and I think that's the right way to take that.
Nice.
You're very welcome.
Otherwise, you'd have six committees, and I don't only have three.
That's right. I got even this.
So those are staff recommendations for your consideration.
All right. I'm good with that. And the other,
thank you.
One thing, you're welcome. The State Land Use Plan Advisory Council that Austin is in,
yes.
That's actually, once you guys make a recommendation, it's appointed by the governor. And then I was appointed as a vice, as a second place in there. And that's, I don't know if that mattered or not.
We can do a substitute designee, if you would, as we've done with the others, if you're good with that, Dean Hamer.
Okay. With no other discussion, I'll entertain a motion then to
I move that we accept the recommendations of staff for the appointments of all 21
positions.
Okay.
Do I hear a second?
I'll second the motion.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Public comment.
Janet, hi. Good morning. Good afternoon. How are you?
Good.
Please.
Thank you. Thank you. My name is Janet Houts. I'm Mark Twin's Story County residence. Before, I think you'll vote for it, but I want to ask you a few questions. First of all these regional boards, does it only for apply for only employees and is selected commissioners, or does it contain with other public candidates that they can have some of the public candidates may have interest? Is there a way that they can apply for it on that position to become of these 21 lists of the board? Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, before you vote, I think I can try to answer that, and I don't mean this as facetiously as it's going to sound, but that answer is yes and no. In some cases, like the Rail Commission, they require a commissioner specific. In the case of the County Board of Equalization, as I have already mentioned, they require a county elected official, I believe.
Maybe, excuse me.
For most of the rest of these, the organizations strongly prefer someone as in either an elected or a staff person. I'm not aware, other than VCTC, excuse me, that one also by ordinance requires that, and the historic district may, because those are all commissioners that serve on there. But in the rest of these cases, it's the organizational structure that says, we'd like to have you have someone there that can speak on behalf of the county, not bind, but speak authoritatively for the county. So I would say common sense says we do this. We aren't precluded. I mean, Maggie Lowther is a contract employer, retiree, if you will. But again, she's been serving on these types of positions for her entire career. So I stand by my recommendations and think that the answer really is yes and no. It depends on which commission or board.
Okay. I have a motion. I have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right. Moving right along then. Let's see. We're going to skip that. And we're into consent agenda. Anyone have any changes or any issues on that? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
Did you ask for public comment on it before you have the motion?
Yeah, is there any public comment on consent agenda? Anyone have any comments?
Yes.
No comments on?
Okay. Yeah, these would be on 8, 9, and 10, Marley.
Yeah. Okay, no comments on consent agenda then. You have one thing. Go ahead, Janet.
On the item number 9, the November 2012 Treasury Report, I'd like to move this to under discussions and action, possible actions.
You want
to move it for the discussion?
Okay,
and actions.
Go ahead.
Okay. I was looking at the Treasury Report, and I saw that that there's a dispute of I think it was $600 in the journal entries, and when you transfer from one account to another account, it's zero out. But it was shown as there's a bit of $600, 600 plus. I can't remember how much is it, but I do not know why. But it's just like you transfer one bank account to another bank account, then when it's zero out, it should be zero, totally nil. So there is, in that report, it shows there is a $600 difference. And I'd like to know why. And I have not finished doing my analysis on the claim, because for the past few months, I have been asking for the Treasury report in, as one of the agenda. It was not, I was rejected, and there was no reason given to me. Because I know that the claim itself, some months, the claim itself approved by the board, by the commissioner, does not ties with the Treasury report. Thank you.
Anyone care to comment on Janet's question?
Okay.
Do you have any input on the $620?
No, I'll contact Janet and sit down talk.
Okay. All right. Any other comments on consent agenda? And I'll entertain a motion then.
Did you, Mr. Chairman, did you read room number 9?
Yes.
I understand you correctly?
Yeah.
Okay. I move that we approve the consent agenda with the removal of number 9.
Mm-hmm. I'll second. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
And an aye from me. So.
And then you need a motion for number 9 now? You need a motion for number 9 now.
And I'll entertain a motion for number 9. Are we going to item number 9?
Are we going to table number 9 and have the conversation with Janet?
Okay.
If that's your pleasure, I would tell you. And again, I'm looking at based on vouchers of $785,837 to have a $629, you know, question mark or discrepancy. Our independent auditor, again, I'm looking for Mr. Gallagher and not seeing him back there, but those items would probably be considered by any outside auditor as immaterial. I'm not arguing with what Janet is saying, is when you're transferring between journals, you should be able to find it. And I know between Vanessa and Hugh, we will endeavor to do that, but it's not a, if we were dealing with $628,000 or $62,000 or perhaps even $6,000, yeah. I would suggest a merit statement.
Would it be proper to go ahead and ask to approve it as it is, asking for just a clarification?
You can ask somebody to come back and explain it to you, absolutely.
Okay, you want to state the motion one more time then?
Yeah. I move that we accept item 9 on the pretense that we get a clarification on the discrepancy on the amount at the next regular scheduled meeting.
Okay.
I'll second that.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Yeah.
You know, before you move on, if I could quickly make an observation. In the past, when people have asked, and we did it appropriately today, but at times when people ask to have something taken out from underneath the consent agenda, the idea of a consent agenda is that it's something that's not controversial, there's likely not going to be any comment about, and you put things that you don't think there's any controversy or any comment about, you put them under the consent agenda, and if there isn't, then you just go ahead and say, you know, we accept the consent agenda. In this case, it's 8, 9, and 10. In this case, appropriately, Ms. Houts asked to have it taken out of the consent agenda so that it could be discussed, and if you read the agenda, it specifically states that people are allowed to do that. It says, any member of the board or any citizen, this is on page 2, up right below the consent agenda, mm-hmm. may request that an item be taken from the consent agenda, discussed, and acted upon separately during this meeting. So we just did it appropriately, and we, in the times past, haven't. But that's the way we handled it, the way it should be handled today. When anybody gets up and says we'd like it taken off the consent agenda, take it off, consider it separately, and then pass the rest of the consent agenda that nobody wants taken out, and then separately consider that item and discuss it. So
okay.
We handled it correctly today.
Okay. All right, staff. Jerry, got anything? You.
I used to get called first.
Staff, I'm going to ask you to come up because to the podium because Vanessa's not been able to get a real good audio transcription.
Hi, Vanessa. Please.
Can you hear me now?
Only thing I have is update on the Lockwood substation. We are moved out of the storefront. We're done with that lease. We did a walkthrough on the building last week, and it's all signed off. We're in the new building. There's still a lot of work left to be done. Job Corps is working with us. Their folks are going to build the entryway, handicap access, everything for the front. That should start the day after tomorrow and be done within about 10 days. We did have some issues with the electrical system. I've got an electrician coming out tomorrow, Thursday. Got an electrician coming out to try and run down those problems, but we are probably 80% operational at the substation and saving a whole bunch of money now.
You got 400 amps on it?
Well, I got a lot of power coming into it. It's just don't know where it's going.
Okay. All righty. Mike.
Chairman Schobangen, and welcome new commissioners McBride and Gilman. Look forward to working with you from this point forward. As you're aware, we've experienced some inclement weather during the last couple of weeks, and we've had more snow dumped upon us in three storms than normal, and then it got real cold. And there were a few complaints, specifically for some of the residents in the Virginia City Highlands area. And for that, we apologize. We do not have blow torches on the equipment, however. So we do what we can with a small crew. And keep in mind, when I say small crew, there's a total of five of us that operate snow removal equipment between Virginia City, Gold Hill, Mark Twain, the Highlands,
TRI,
and at times Lockwood. And so we're stretched relatively thin. We did put in quite a bit of overtime hours with the storms. And, you know, I think for the most part we do a pretty dang good job, and I think you'll probably agree. But there's always a few little areas. And those complaints specifically on Lousetown Road were addressed. We did take the road grader out there. We scraped as much ice as we could off of that. We even had difficulty with the road grader. And then after that, we did salt and sand. In fact, over the weekend, I personally took our brine truck out there on two separate occasions. And then we did finally loosen it up because, of course, the daytime temperatures warmed up sufficiently. So then we're able to scrape a little bit more off it. And I think probably today, I don't know, Bill, how it looked when you came in, if you came in that way. But, you know, we try to continue to stay on top of this. And just sometimes, you know, with the temperature differentials that we have between the daytime and the evening, it just makes it a little bit difficult. I will tell you that during the storm period, we utilized over 90 yards of salt sand and over 2,800 gallons of brine on county roads and streets. And that's Virginia City, the Highlands, and the Tahoe Reno. One thing that it almost got away from us is on the Tahoe Reno, we used to have a pretty good relationship with the Walmart distribution center there. They have a new man I'm going to meet Wednesday, tomorrow. So we'll educate them on how we expect to be notified. So normally they're pretty good about calling our dispatch in the middle of the night. We'd rather be called in the middle of the night than out there because, you know, it's an hour drive for a couple of us to respond out there. And out there we have to run two snow plows in tandem to keep those four-lane roadways open. Of course, you know that there's about 33 road miles out there, and Lance can attest that turns into about 90-some lane miles that we deal with. So. But we'll continue to do our best with, you know, the small crew that we have, so be patient with us. Also, as far as snow is concerned, we did work with NDOT last week to finally get C Street in pretty good shape. I think they have a new foreman, and he was not real familiar with what it takes. And so it was a learning experience for him. In fact, he just stood by in his pickup and watched the activity and thanked us tremendously for the work that we'd put forth in helping those guys out. And that's the thing about partnerships. We work together. We help each other, and it, you know, makes things move real smooth. So I don't have any problem. Some of the city streets, we have issues with vehicles stored, and I'm working with the sheriff to address some of these that I think are stored there, and we'll continue to work with the sheriff to see if we can get those removed and maybe put in a different location. You know, you can drive by and see that a lot of them haven't moved in months, so that hampers our efforts as well. And then on top of everything, we have water issues. We have to drop everything and respond to a broken main out here on C Street the other day and had to dig up the oil. But, you know, you do what you got to do. We've had some freezing issues in some of these abandoned structures in the community of recent. We had one last night and one again this morning. We thought we had birded that one, but it didn't happen. But we need to educate the public a little bit better on keeping heat, and if they're going to be gone, maybe shutting the water down. It just saves everybody headaches. The other thing I just wanted to make mention of is that I've been working with Far West Engineering and Comstock Mining on some improvements to their water service on their side of the line. Of course, we feed them from a point out here on the pipeline between Five Mile Water Tank and the Virginia City Treatment Facility. And that's fed currently by a 2-inch. And they have expressed an interest in buying some additional water from us. Right now we can only feed them about 72,000 gallons in a 24-hour period through a 2-inch connection. So they would like to, at their expense, of course, upgrade that to a 6-inch connection, move the meter from its point out here on Ophir, which is real difficult for us in the wintertime to get out there. We have no snowmobiles. And we'll put that meter down at their 93,000-gallon storage tank at the mill site. And also, they're going to expend some funding to enhance the information that's shared between the Story County Water System staff and the Marlette folks over there on the other side of the hill that run water into the five-mile tank for us. And that'll involve some telemetry, so it'll give us an idea of what level the tank is, how much water, you know, they're pulling through the meter. There'll be a flow meter there and this pressure. And that all helps in the end run, because then we can make adjustments as need be, you know, during the day or evening, so we're not overflowing and wasting water at Five Mile Reservoir. And the projections for that upgrade, and as I mentioned, all on their nickel, is about $80,000. And then we'll continue talks with some improvements that they're interested in helping fund in some of the other areas that we've had issues this last year on the siphon especially. And that's the piece of line from the bottom of Lakeview up and over Duck Hill and eventually ends up at Five Mile Reservoir. So the other thing I'll mention it to the board is our shop supervisor and lead mechanic Steve Fate is retiring at the end of February. Steve came on board about 5.5 years ago. He was retired from Smith Detroit Diesel, where he put in approximately 30 years, I guess. And he's really been a godsend for us. Steve is up there in years, although he's in real good shape for 72-year-old guy. He probably does more than a 40-year-old guy can do. But he's experienced some issues, you know, with movement in his wrists and so on and so forth. So he's decided to, it's time to hang it up once and for all. So I'll be working with Pat and Holly to get this position filled, and probably we will do an internal promotion into Steve's position and backfill our tech position with a new hire. So, you got any questions for me?
I do want to comment on the snow plowing. The Monday after the big snow, I did some driving around in the Highlands, including Cartwright, Lousdown, some of the other streets. Came in, drove around Virginia City a little bit, went down, drove around Mark Twain. I found it to be more than satisfactory. If you had a properly equipped four-wheel drive vehicle, you should not have had any difficulty on any of the roads in Story County. Those people who are driving little two-wheel drive roller skate type cars, that's going to have to expect that they're not going to work very well up here. And if you have a properly equipped four-wheel drive vehicle, I had no trouble at all. And so as far as I'm concerned, you guys did a great job, and you got it done in a very timely fashion. And I think that moving that additional pipeline down into Comstock Mining, down the road, we're going to be happy that we did that. That gives us access to additional water if we ever need it. We can. So I think that's in the long run. I'm not sure why, but it's a good idea.
Well, you know, the nice thing right now, too, is during these cold temperatures that we experience, is as much water as we can keep moving through that system, the better off we are. We don't have any freezing. Because I'll get the opportunity to either individually or as a group take you on a tour of that system, you know, when the weather warms up and we can get out there in a vehicle. But there's a lot of that line that's exposed, and, you know, 16 miles of it coming from Lakeview to Virginia City. So the more GPM we can keep moving, the less issue we have of freezing up somewhere out there. And then I'd just like to comment on Bill's comment regarding roads and the high. Our responsibility really is on Cartwright and Lowstown,
yes,
and that's absolutely. All we don't maintain any of their interior arterial roads in there. Although we have at times gone out there and helped them out neat when need be. I mean, I've seen snow more, you know, twice as much as we have now out in the Highlands, when people couldn't move out there. And so, you know, if we have equipment that, you know, we can, you know, augment their forces with, we have no problem helping out, you know, as long as we have staffing to do it. So.
I'd like to make a comment about May, Mike, also regarding TRI. As you probably know, there are several thousand truck trips a day coming in their 24-hour period. There's 12 million feet under roof out there of distribution and industry that are strong for the county. I'd be delighted to join you with Walmart. I think it's important that we keep the perception that they can come to our county and do business, and we'll keep them in business. And so having a lot of trouble on those highways has far-reaching consequences for all of us in attracting new business, and we don't want to get a negative reputation. And I know you aren't, so I'm not suggesting that. But I think everybody needs to understand that it's a critically important element to the economic diversification in our county.
Oh, you bet. And it's amazing, the truck traffic on that USA Parkway at 2 o'clock in the morning. There's probably more truck traffic on USA Parkway than there is on Interstate 80 at that hour.
Yeah, most folks aren't aware of it. We've got a boiling industrial park going out there, and it's a lot of trucks.
You bet. Well, that's all I have for you.
Okay, thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
Austin.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. I just want to give you a brief update on the master plan of Story County. As you know, we have completed Title 17 of the zoning ordinance, and now we've opened up the master plan. So at this point, what's going to happen is about 18 months or longer, however long it takes, to do public workshops. We're going to include the GIDs. We're going to include the homeowners associations. We'll include the Virginia City the Tourism Commission, Historic District, pretty much every entity in the county. And in that, we'll build the master plan. This 17th, at the Planning Commission, I'm going to give a presentation on population. It'll include the population trends and the demographic trends for the last 20 years, and I'll also present what's anticipated by the demographer's office, the U.S. Census, and a 1.8% population growth trend for the next 20 years. And then that will ultimately tie into planning for the county and the master plan, everything from housing, economic development, natural resources, and what's anticipated for the county in the next 20 years. So I'll continue to keep you updated on that, and that's where we are at this point.
Just a curiosity, we've already done our zoning. So we did our zoning first, we're doing our master plan second.
Correct.
Which deviates from kind of standard practice in a lot of communities.
Correct.
Would it be my understanding that the master plan is going to follow the current zoning that we have just completed, or is it going to actually develop new master plans?
What would happen is, it's a good question, and that was been a question during the update of the zoning ordinance. Sometimes one comes before the other. Doesn't necessarily have to be that way, but with the staff we had and the situation we had with the zoning ordinance, that we literally could not administrate zoning in the county because of the state of that document, meaning primarily it's so outdated. That we chose to do the zoning ordinance first to get that out of the way, because the master plan actually is pretty good. It doesn't need to be changed substantially, but it just needs to be updated and brought, you know, to where we are today. Going back to your initial question, as we have all of our zones, what ultimately will likely happen is you'll see the Highlands, for example, that area becoming on a map a residential area, and then inside that under zoning, this will be in a state 1, this will be in a state 10, this will be in a state 40. Tri-Center and our industrial areas would be all, let's say, gray on a master plan map, just figuratively speaking. And then inside that master plan then would be, you know, this is a light industrial, heavy industrial, intense industrial, whatever. You may have some forestry zones in that gray area that the master plan says this is anticipated to become an industrial area in the future, but currently it's not developed and therefore it's zoned whatever, typically forestry in that case, you know, that sort of thing. So you probably will see a very close tie to our existing zoning to the master plan. There's a potential for some deviation, but probably not likely.
And Commissioner Gilman, we also, I think, took, after talking to council and contract counsel, Mr. Morris, we took the intentional approach that because of the faults in the zoning, specifically addressing some of the critical issues, that we could probably get zoning done to about a 90% level. I mean, we have to go back and visit things in zoning, there's no doubt. But we've got now a 90% jump start on it, just to pick a raw number. And now the intent is, at least from staff level, unless you wish differently, is to go ahead now and focus on the master plan and then come back afterwards and clean up any lingering zoning issues, either that are caught up. We have one in special industrial.
It's some very minor stuff.
Very minor details. And the master planning could indeed result in some needed changes to the zoning as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that was kind of the thought process.
And both of them are working documents. Typically, they're living documents, and they become updated periodically in any place you go as things come and are needed. Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Austin. Jana.
Good afternoon. My face is up here on the board. The only thing I have to report is we finished all of our tax roll, and as everyone knows, we had a new process this year where we actually had our tax roll printed and mailed out to the residents of Story County. And anytime you undertake a new process, something different than you've done for years and years, you kind of keep your fingers crossed that it goes well. And I have to report that it far surpassed my expectations. We were estimating about $3,200 as a cost to print and mail. We actually came in a little bit under that at $3,100. So, like I said, once again, when you start something new, you always hope it works out for the best. As far as I know, we've had nothing but positives from the residents, from the mailings that have come in. It looks good. So I'm happy with that. And as, like I said, as far as I know, it's it was a positive for, it's a win-win situation for everyone. So.
Very clean-looking document, too. I was amazed. I'm very impressed with it.
I was impressed because, once again, when you use
and
your
company.
And I gather
that, that almost everyone in the room here has read it cover to cover. Have you not? Yeah, I figured so. So we can fix that this legislative session. Thank you, Jen. Jen.
Congratulations to the new commissioners. Looking forward to working with all of you. Recently, we've kind of been dealing with a vacancy in one of the recorder's deputy recorder positions, so we've been working on filling that. But probably more exciting, we have been awarded a grant for some digital imaging of the historic records from the State Historic Records Advisory Board, which is probably easier and better well known as SHRAB. And we're still working on that. We're trying to integrate all these old records into our existing system. Hopefully by, I'll have a more comprehensive report probably in a couple weeks. But if you have any questions or any ideas, come on into the office. The offer always stands.
Thank you. Holly.
This one's going to be tough for me. Try not to cry. I am going to be officially submitting my resignation. I've been here nearly 4 years, and for the last year and a half, my husband and I have been commuting back and forth from Elko. He's been living and working there. So with the birth of our second child, we decided that was kind of a little difficult and not real great for our family. So. As you know, my husband's been a lifelong resident of Story County, and I've been here for the last 8 years. I'm sure we'll be back soon, so sorry. But at this point, we've decided it's better for our family to really focus on our kids while they're young and be together. So like I said at the last meeting, I'm really grateful for the opportunities that I've had here in Story County, and I'm going to do everything I can over the next month to really facilitate a smooth transition and get someone into my position that'll work as hard for you as I have. So, okay, to the business. I have, as we go into budget cycle, I've got new PERS numbers for you. PERS is going up again this year. Kind of been their regular theme for the last several. The regular fund is going up from 23.75 to 25.75, and the police fire fund is going up from 39.75 to 40.5. So we need to factor those numbers into budgeting for salaries this coming year. Health insurance is every year is also an expected increase. I'm meeting with our broker this Friday to get projections. It seems like for the last 4 years, it's been a 10 to 11% increase every year. And every year, I've opted to go out to bid and try and find better rates. Some years, that's been more effective than others. And again, with my transition, that's bidding and replacing the entire health system is a huge undertaking. It takes me about 4 months, and I always feel like I'm going to pull all my hair out. So hopefully we won't have to do that with a new person coming into my spot, but I'll keep you posted. I talked to Pat this morning. We haven't had a lot of huge claims loss, and that's generally what affects our rates. We have what the insurance industry, not me, considers an older workforce, and claims loss and age tends to affect that. So hopefully with little claims loss, we won't have a big rate increase, but I'll be able to tell you more at the next meeting. Okay? Thank you very much.
Holly, if I would, you and I chatted a little bit about you're working with about a $4 million fund right now for grants, and that you'll be transferring?
Generally, it's not a yearly thing, but on average, we carry about $4 million in grants. And as Jen said, she's got a grant, the fire department has a few, but the vast majority of those grants are applied for and managed by myself and Sherry Nevin. And while I've been on maternity leave, Sherry Nevin has been managing all of my portion of those grants. And there are a lot of boards, probably about a half a dozen, that I sit on and participate with. And Sherry's already met all of those boards and has worked with them and has really taken over that. So I would definitely recommend that portion of my job duties stay with her. There are two other main functions that I do. The vast majority of my job is human resources. I'm also the county's, I call it health and human services, but I believe in county code it's called the indigent services director, which is kind of outdated vernacular. But that's a commission-appointed position, and so those two are kind of relatively important to get filled as well. So
I want to personally thank you and compliment you. I've had the opportunity to work with you on the indoctrination here and getting acquainted in the county, and I'm so impressed on how you know your job and how you do your job. And I'm going to tell you, I'm sure you're going to be sorely missed.
Thank you.
Yeah, nice job.
Thanks, Ollie. Sherry.
Good afternoon. Welcome, new commissioners. I'm happy to see some new faces and some old faces, so we look forward to working with you. As Holly said, I've been working with her for about the past 3 months on grants. And going along with that, we will be mailing out income surveys to Virginia City, Gold Hill, and Silver City residents here within the next week. And these surveys are needed in order to qualify for federal loans and grants. So I would request that the public, when they receive those surveys, that they follow the instructions and send them back to us. We're on a short time frame here. We've got to get things done. So I would just ask that you do that when you receive them. Let us know if you have any questions. But they should be coming out in the mail later on this week. Thank you.
If I make a quick comment, I have had the opportunity to work with a number of residents who have received some of the past surveys. And I think we need to do a bit more promotion within the communities and the residents to make them comfortable with what they're receiving. Because I've fielded quite a number of calls saying, well, what are these and why am I being, my personal information being sought? And there's a lot, either suspicion or discomfort in that. And so for all of us, we're comfortable with what our mission is and the information we need. But I think we need to do a little more lobbying out in our neighborhoods in some way so that folks are a bit more comfortable with what they're receiving and why. And I think we'll get a better return.
We had a great return, actually, for Lockwood. It's interesting that you bring that up. We had very few concerns. I did field a few calls, and I was, you know, happy to answer their questions, that their information was kept confidential. Their returns do not come to the county, just so you know. They go to a third party. We work with the Nevada Rural Water Association, and they field all of those responses that come in, collect the results. Basically, we just see the end result. Here's what your median household income is for this particular area of the county. So we will try to do as much outreach as we can. I have a couple letters going to both of our local papers this week, as well as on the back of the water bills that went out, I believe, late last week. There was some information on there as well. So
can you give us a percentage of return in the future?
Sure. Not today, but yeah, I've got the survey for Lockwood. I'd be happy to share with you. Absolutely.
Oh, that's good. I was wondering just, yeah, if we were having how the return was on that.
Yeah, it's a big undertaking, so we've decided that it's best to kind of break it down by community instead of trying to do it all at once. So it seems to be working out quite well. So thank you.
Thank you, Sherry. Joe.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and welcome to Mr. McBride and Mr. Gilman. It's going into a whole new era that should be quite enjoyable, I think. Let me say first, just for clarification, particularly for Mr. Gilman, maybe, that my function as Director of Emergency Management is one that's kind of you don't hear much about. We're kind of low-key, if you will, but at the same time, there is a lot of things that are occurring, that are happening, that we're doing, that we're applying for in terms of grants, that we are doing planning for and this sort of thing. We produce all of the emergency planning functions for the county, such as emergency operations plans, hazardous materials response plans, evacuation plans, hazard mitigation plans, and it goes on from there. Sherry Nevin works with me on that and is a great help, as she is a full-time person in the county, she functions with these grants and does this outstanding job of managing these grants for us. As part of that, we work with the state of Nevada Emergency Management quite closely. We work with Lyon County as a whole, Douglas County, Carson City, and the state emergency management functions. Also with Washoe County, we're very close aligned with Washoe County in our functions. From a kind of an overview standpoint, the two things that are probably forefront in terms of emergency management over the last month or so or a couple of months, is one, as you recall, back in December, we were looking at the potential of having some significant flooding in the River District. We dodged that bullet, as you're well aware, but in the process of that, the function of emergency management does, we look at that and we go, what do we need to do on an immediate basis here? What kind of sandbags do we need to produce? What kind of preparations do we need to do for evacuations? What kind of things do we need to have in place? And so we do that. We meet as a group with this, with all of our public safety people, pretty much all the same folks that you met with this morning, Mr. Gilman, in that room. And we make determinations of what we should do. Well, if you've seen, you know, we still have, we prepared in that case approximately 6,000 sandbags. We still have those sandbags in place because historically, you know, the first couple of 3 weeks after January 1st, we usually end up with some kind of a problem. And those are being taken care of, and we have tarps over those in case we need them. In the spring, when that threat has gone by, we will empty those sandbags out. The sandbags at that point then become useless because they deteriorate over a short period of time, but we'll still have the sand. The other thing is that about three to four years ago, we conducted what is required, as most of these plans are required by the state and by the federal government, to have a hazard mitigation plan. That hazard mitigation plan is something that was actually paid for by FEMA, by Homeland Security funding, and we put that hazardous mitigation plan into place over a period of months where, again, we have this focus group that we bring together of county officials. Well, every 5 years we have to continue to upgrade that plan, and we're approaching that five-year mark. So we have invited the state who participates in this with us to a meeting, which will be this Wednesday right after the local emergency planning committee, which will be held at Walmart this Wednesday. And we will start that initial planning stage for pursuing and updating that hazard mitigation plan, which focuses on five areas of concern in an ascending fashion: earthquake, winter storm, flood, wildland fire, and wind or severe winter type of storms.
So those are the things that we focus on, and for that hazard mitigation plan. We're just completing, and we'll come before you, I believe, the next commission meeting to finalize the update that we did on our emergency response plan for the county. And that was updated after quite a number of years of being in place and focusing on things that needed to be continued on and looked at for the future. With that, if you have any questions for me.
I'd be curious about the rail that runs the full length of the county.
The what?
The rail. And they haul a certain amount of hazardous waste on rail. Are we prepared for a rail spill or a rail car spill of hazardous waste along the Truckee and or Missouri County area?
We certainly are. That is part of the plan. That is part of the consideration. That rail land, we have communication with the rail folks, with the Southern Pacific rail folks. That is a factor that we look at. We've had over the years, I can recall, at least one derailment that occurred that was not significant, but it had potential. Fortunately, they didn't have anything in the cars particularly. Many years ago, before I think you actually even became involved here that you may not be aware of, we did have a couple of incidents relating to the rail lines that had, that technically in today's parlance would have been clarified or considered terrorist acts. They had to do with destruction of tank cars that allowed oil product to move from it. As a county with the fire department, we have what's called the Quad County Hazardous Materials Response Team. That involves Story County, Douglas County, Lyon County, and Carson City. And we all have a function or a portion of that response process where we respond to hazardous materials. And Chief Haynes may direct your attention to that and the function of that plan that we exercise on an annual basis, primarily within the industrial complex, with Walmart, with other organizations within the industrial complex. Yeah. Thank you. Any other questions?
And, you know, and Lance, if it goes bad, we can just say it occurred on the Washoe County side.
Yeah, we have special equipment that will push anything to the north side of the river. You know.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Roy.
Okay, Hugh. Oh, Gary's back there. I haven't forgotten.
Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission, Happy New Year. As we gallop down this new year, there are certainly many things on the board that, from my perspective, I need to do, and one of them is try and get a revenue number from property taxes to where we have a viable number to go into the budget session. This has always been a rather lengthy and complicated type of formula because, quite frankly, the Department of Taxation doesn't give us their figures until about a week before the final budget is approved. And we've got a tentative budget that we've got to put through, and we've got budgets for everybody's that's for those funds that are affected by it. So we have to try and do what we can with the numbers that we have and understanding the abatements that are out there, the things that are coming board from assessments or reduction in assessed valuation from the Board of Equalization, and some various new buildings or new projects going on. So we have come fairly close in the past. I don't expect us being out of the ballpark this, but it does start early and it just continues. With that, I had a conversation last week with Department of Taxation, our big brother. Last year was not happy that we moved the Virginia City Tourism Commission inside the county. We developed a lot of stuff It was the right thing to do. We had thought, gave them plenty of notice that we were going to do it, and they came back right at budget time, said that they weren't pleased with it, that we shouldn't do it, mainly because of the tourism tax that is associated with the Fair and Rec Board. They've again mentioned their displeasure with that, along with the town of Virginia City and the town of Gold Hill. They should think that those should be separate entities of and by themselves and not incorporated with the county. I'm going to meet with them sometime this week to discuss the options. If there's anything at all, I'm hopeful that they'll say that what we're doing is okay, because it is a very good product. We have brought accountability in. We have brought people in as public employees. So I see no reason to deviate what we're doing. I just, if it's simply the fact that they need their own financial statement, so be it. I don't have a problem with it, because it's all accounted for within the accounting software that we have presently on board. And later on this week, I will be distributing a six-month-ended financial report to each one of our departments. This gives them the six-month, the half-a-year flashback as to what's going on. Take a look at those items that we think need to take a little further look at. Make sure that we're okay until that third quarter report that comes out, and then at that point in time, we'll discuss if something is out of line or whatever. We'll discuss on how to fix that, how to curtail it, or possibly eliminate it from further use. So it's going to be a very busy 3 or 4 months. Anything that the commission needs of me, certainly I will be at your disposal, and give me a call. Is there any questions? Thank you.
Thank you, Gary.
Mr. Chairman, while Gary comes to the podium, I might remind you, especially the two new commissioners, that you actually are commissioners of multiple local government entities.
Yeah.
In addition to being the commissioner for Story County, under our ordinances and a provision in state statute, you serve as the 473, NRS 473 Fire District Board of Commissioners, and also the NRS 474 Fire District Board of Commissioners. When we have actionable items to take, as you will probably see in the near future on things like budgets and others, we will specifically recess the commission and convene as those appropriate fire boards may or may not be called, and then adjourn from those and reconvene in county commission. So for staff comments, I have not really conferred with council, but we felt like that was an overkill to just allow general comments, but please keep that in mind as you hear whatever Chief Haynes has to enlighten us on.
Thank you. Good afternoon. I'd like to pick up where Joe kind of left off with the hazardous materials question. It's kind of funny that you bring that up, Mr. Gilman, because the next meeting, it's agendized to bring forward the Quad County Hazardous Materials updated annual working plan. That plan, Joe already spoke to you about who participates in that. We also have agreements outside of the Quad County with the Triad team, which is Truckee, Meadows, Reno, and Sparks. We have agreements with the Pyramid Lake Volunteer Fire Department, as well as North Lyon County. So we're pretty well secured and prepared out there for that area. There have been some commodity flow reports that Joe, I'm sure, would have mentioned if you would have been prepared for that question. The commodity reports, we have the train, but there's also a couple other worrisome areas. The natural gas pipeline that goes out there that I'm sure Commissioner Gilman's very well aware of, as well as the jet fuel line that runs that area. We do have pre-plans on those. We have the appropriate contacts, the right shutoff areas. So I think we've done our homework on that side, on the hazardous materials side of the house. To touch base a little bit on the EMS side, as you know, we have the franchise agreement, and we provide EMS services through a paramedic level system countywide. We've been very busy with that. We've actually rewritten our controlled substance policies. We are in the process of adopting a standardized EMS protocol, which is consistent with Central Lyon County and North Lyon County, two of our very close partners that we automatic and mutual aid with literally every day. We'll have those standardized so all of us are using the same medication, same doses. While doing that, we've also changed medical director. Our old medical director's name was Dr. Greenholz. He's moved to California, and we've now taken on a new medical director named Wayne Hardwick. He's an ER physician at Renown. He's been in this area for, gosh, 25-plus years. Very active. He's also the medical director for Central Lyon County, City of Sparks, Truckee Meadows Fire Protection District, and a myriad of others. So we're trying to regionalize as much as we can our protocols and policies. So control substance, my medical director. At the end of last year, the FCC had a mandate. By December 31st, we had to narrow band all of our frequencies. Part of that was through the EMS side. Our ambulance frequencies are different than our normal standard fire department frequencies. We again partnered with our regional cooperators, being Carson City, Douglas County, and Lyon County. The state came out with a solution that was 800 megahertz that would have cost us roughly $400 per radio per year. You can do the math. We run 4 ALS engines, 5 ALS ambulances, a battalion chief that's ALS licensed vehicle, and a utility truck that's ALS licensed. So those numbers add up very, very quickly. So we went to our regional partners. We were able to take over the frequencies, get them narrow banded from state EMS. We all pitched in, and we've now put in a mountaintop repeater on Como, Mount Como, which is working very well. It saves us those continual ongoing costs of 800 megahertz. And we partnered with Lyon County and their buildings. We have no monthly rent, no utility costs. So that was a positive thing. Everything now is narrowband compliant, so we've met that requirement for FCC. We've been working closely with Central Lyon County, as well as the other counties and kind of the Quad County Consortium, on dispatch issues. Our dispatch is a separate individual department that runs extremely well, has its own director. That's not the case in all parts of the state or this region. Particularly, we've been talking with Central Lyon County since we work so closely with them on potentially them coming in and contracting services, basically, with Story County Dispatch Center. There's a lot of really good positive things, and we'll be bringing those out in the near future. I just wanted to plant that with you and make you aware that we are in negotiations and talks. In fact, we're going to Davis, California,
Wednesday,
to look at a PSAP, a public safety answering point, that's very similar to what we're trying to obtain. Hopefully we'll have some good answers from that. We're also going to start January 23rd at our next meeting of developing an MOU for services with them. I'm sure Dave Ballard will probably be leading that bandwagon in the future, and we'll keep you apprised of that. But all positive things. The biggest thing for us that does is currently when we have mutual aid or automatic aid requests, it's done dispatch to dispatch. It's all done by humans, and it's cumbersome. They have to literally pick up the phone, call the other PSAP, get the operator, give them the information, or transfer the call, and it just takes time. If we were to contract services, we can truly get the closest resource availability. And I don't think there's any citizen or taxpayer in this county that could care what color the ambulance is that gets to the front door, as long as it gets there quickly and is efficient. So that's what we're trying to do within the region. Two more quick things. We have been very fortunate. We've have 5 new volunteer firefighters that have just joined the Story County Volunteer Fire Department. We'll be partnering with Central Lyon County again to put on a firefighter one for structural firefighting starting this month. We'll be rotating from the Virginia City Station to their Mark Twain Fire Station. We'll be sharing costs and we'll be sharing instructors. So again, another positive thing. And last but certainly not least, we'll be starting a Reserve Firefighter Academy on January 18th. The Reserve Firefighters are those when we have to send people off county to training. A case in point is we have a technical rescue training on the 9th of this month. 3 of the people on shift that day are required to attend that training. They're very few and far between. They're literally one time a year. So that's when we use our reserve program. We have Reserve Firefighter Paramedics, and we have Reserve Firefighter EMT Intermediates. So we fill that accordingly to backfill so that the full-time staff can attend training as needed. And with that, there's probably a whole bunch more on grants and other things, but won't
you,
be labor.
Do you have that report and available in a printed form?
Which report's that, I'm sorry?
That you just gave?
I don't. I just have it in my to-do list.
It would be interesting to have.
What's that? I'm sorry.
I say it would be interesting to have.
We will absolutely be giving you the annual report here by the end of January, February 1st, for your first meeting in February, and that'll kind of be soup to nuts of everything that's happened over the last 12 months. And then quarterly, we'll give you a copy of our newsletter that has all these things listed in them and more. So there.
I enjoy having that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I will get that to you as soon as possible. Any questions? Oh, great.
Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you.
Denny.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Congratulations, Mr. McBride, Mr. Gilman. It's nice to see you there, and a happy New Year to everybody. A couple things from the tourism standpoint and community services. Over the past several years, maybe even decades, Marshall could probably answer it better than I could on how many years it's been going on, where a collective group of businesses here in town have gotten together, whether it's the Chamber of Commerce, whether it's the co-op, or recently the Merchant Association, and they've helped offset some of the hard costs for a lot of our signature special events that we hold here every year in Virginia City. Unfortunately, these are no longer operating. Last year, towards the end of the event season, we experienced the Merchant Association going dark, and the Tourism Authority had to pick up the tab, if you will, on some hard costs for the last three events of the year. This amount collectively on an average has been about $25,000 a year over the entire year on things such as an event promoter, waste management, porta potties, sponsorships, banners hung up on the street, all the type of incidental things that you see out there that we do each year with the special events and the parades. On November 1st, we held a workshop. On that workshop, we invited everybody in town that we can get there to ask for public input on what we could, or some ideas going forward, how we do in 2012, what do you want to do in 2013, and we also asked, what are your thoughts on funding? How can we bridge the gap? We don't want to go backwards. I think everybody has seen the difference in special events over the last 3 or 4 years. We've grown to be pretty recognizable here in Northern Nevada with our event calendar. We don't want to go backwards, so how do we get there? Overwhelmingly, the consensus was to review and revisit business licenses, whether they're just here in Virginia City, or like which we get funded now through a portion of the Tourism Commission, or we look at the whole picture. We've also had some open discussions in our Tourism Commission meetings. Hopefully, with recommendation to that board this Thursday, we'll have a recommendation to this board on our thoughts on trying to bridge that gap, like I say, approximately $25,000, what we need for hard costs for the events to continue as is and to grow them. We also included that RFP, where we looked at event promoters. We had a great response. Some very professional organizations replied to it. We got to interview them. I've had some subsequent follow-ups with them, and hopefully we'll be able to recommend them as well on Thursday at our board meeting at 8:30. So with that, we'd like to, in the month of February, recommend to this board on a way we can go forward and grow what we've already started here in Virginia City. A couple other things. This week, possibly the first part of next week, we'll get the rec cards for our 2013 calendar, event calendar out. We got some new items on there, and I'll explain those probably at our next meeting when I have those cards to get out. I'm also waiting for a couple other ones. I'm actually meeting with a gentleman next week from the PRB, I guess at the bull riding. He does the national finals. His name's Cotton Rosser. We're going to sit and see if we can get one of them events up here. If not this year, then maybe next. But he's very interested. So a couple of those, maybe a couple of larger softball tournaments. And then there's also some other another hill climb event that's approached us, but we didn't put them on the calendar. And then finally, hopefully by the 1st of, I'm going to say the 1st of March. I'm going to shoot before we get the oyster fry on the ground, that our first real event of the year, is to launch our mobile app for Virginia City. I do have the design team working on it. I should have what it's going to look like and how it's going to operate here probably in the next couple of weeks, but I'll have it live for everybody to download on their smartphones by March 1st. That's what I'm shooting for. And with that, we'll also look to unveil our billboard at the north end of town, with something that's exciting and fresh that'll tie into that, as well as our event calendar. That's all I've got for now. Any questions?
Thank you, Dan.
All right.
Dan. Do we want to take a recess for Dean? No.
Thank you. Congratulations and welcome. Look forward as a team story to work together for the community and the taxpayers of Story County. Just a few things to report on. Luckily today, I've been working hard on trying to bring new companies. A company I've been working with out in North Carolina, it's a small company, called me and did sign a lease. It was a gold processing company, and so that's another company coming out to the tri-area. We got six new companies up and running during the Christmas holidays. You'll see today that we'll continue those companies again for their final business license. We're still waiting for final approval by the fire department. There's some alarm issues that need to be straightened out, and so you'll see some of those things. Also, my new goals for the next year, I've been with Story County 26, almost 27 years. The next 3 to 5 years is to almost double what we have out in the industrial, also make the prosperity of Virginia City area. So I would love to see another 11 to 12 million square foot of businesses out there in the industrial. I know it's a big thing to look at, but working as a team, I think we can do it. We're doing some reviews in California with I think we're at the 1,800 new laws that went into place in California on January 1st, and all the road direction for companies to come is out to Nevada. So we're actually doing homework to see the effects of the new laws in California, what it's going to do to affect the company, so we can be real versed on to help them, to assist them to expand their companies or locate in Northern Nevada. With that, the other goal I have is to get the USA Parkway finished and through to Highway 50. I had a meeting today with NDOT again. We have monthly meetings working with that. One of the biggest things is I sit, as Pat says, as chairman of the Western Nevada Development District. I have been chairman for 5 years, been on that board for 26 years. I go back once a year to Washington, D.C., to their annual conference, and also go on Washington Hill to lobby for funding for all the surrounding rural counties. Also with that, we just embraced and brought in Washoe County, City of Reno, and City of Sparks to the Western Nevada Development District, so we are a full region of Northern and Western Nevada. So we can open up more dollars available, and we pump about $1 to $3 million into a community a year to enhance economic development and to create jobs. And that's the main goal, is to create jobs with revenue. With that, we've been having a problem with NDOT to get on their STIP plan. I will report that the environmental assessment, environmental review will be completed by NDOT's review will be completed by February 5th. I asked that we could get that EA review, and they will give it to us after they have reviewed it, February 5th. Federal Highway Administration typically will not start their review on that plan until it is on the STIP. So, as Lance knows, when we were down at NACO, we had a meeting with the new directors trying to figure out how we can get on that STIP. NDOT will not put you on the STIP until you have the funding identified. It's estimated that that's going to be a $50 million project. Of course, they want the developer to guarantee the funding. Once we put down the developer to guarantee that funding, then when we go ask for money at other agencies, they say, well, the developer's paying for it. You don't need any money. So we're in a catch-22. Majority of that project, almost 95% of that project's in Lyon County. So Story County cannot jeopardize any of our funding, our taxpayers, for that project. So I have committed, as I always do, to go back to Washington, D.C., and asked for funding from Senator Reid and our congressmen and senators. They have graciously said, yes, we'll support you, but get it on the STIP. As today, with Federal Highway Administration there, they said, we agreed to have a meeting.
between NDOT and Federal Highway Administration to try to figure out how we can get this a STIP number going so we can go back and ask for money. When I left that meeting today at noon, they said that, and I asked that Story County could be part of that meeting, they said they would check to see if we could be part of that meeting. Second off, they would set up that meeting. About 15 minutes ago, I got an email saying that they're going to postpone that meeting until Nevada Department of Transportation has their planning meeting and puts a planning and shows that that USA Parkway is high on their priorities. I've asked Austin Osborne at the next meeting to put on our transportation, that's another board you don't know you're really on, the Story County Transportation Commission. We kind of disbanded that, a year ago for funding purposes, but it's still a board. And then we have to put in order what our top priorities are. And we had about 50 priorities on that, 32 to 50 priorities, and I'm going to ask Austin to put that back on the agenda so you can prioritize, and hopefully we can put USA Parkway up there at the top, send that back to NDOT. I've asked Lyon County to do the same thing so they know it's a top priority, and I've asked NDOT that we can be part of that planning meeting so we can show how important it is, not only for Lyon County, but all the northern region of Nevada. So I just kind of want to give you an update on that. With that, we're working constantly on working with trying to bring new companies. I just reported one small one. We're doing an expansion with U.S. Ordnance. We're hoping to have a contract signed with GSI to do another level, bringing in another major company to their facility. And what that does is these facilities are 200,000-300,000 square feet, but they build a pick modular in there. And what they do is they actually build four floors in these 300,000-500,000 square foot facilities, and they have facilities, conveyors, and product four floors high in these warehouses. So if you have a 500,000 square foot facility, you actually have 2 million square foot of storage that they're working out of. And that's the new technology. That new technology, when I first started this, you might put a racking system in for $1 million. Now you put a racking system, conveyor system in there that's $50 million. So that is property tax that's paid to Story County, personal property tax, that's well worth their investment and well worth to the county to work with them. I think Pat said I could talk this time. But I did want to bring to your attention, I am getting complaints, and we made a franchise agreement with Waste Management. And so Waste Management is the only waste receptacle facility can be in Story County. And so two of the new four companies came in, they're trying to get their dumpsters to come out. Well, Castaway had a chance back when we did this franchise agreement, we opened it up for everybody to bid on it. Waste Management came back in as the low bidder again. Well, now Castaway, which is also a Story County company that works out of Story County, is underbidding those receptacles by $100 a month for every 6 weeks. So I'm getting these companies calling me complaining about that, and I tell them why we have a franchise agreement. The other thing people don't realize is the county, we get 3% gross revenue, going up to 7% when we do some expansion with Waste Management, which is about, could be about $1 million a year that comes to the county. So there's a lot of things that Pat, I, and the commissioners, BUM specifically, worked on this that are out there. And if you have questions and you have people coming to you and complaining, please call us and we'll explain that to you. We'll sit down with those meetings with you and explain what has happened in the past, why it is like it is. But you're going to get some of those constantly because we get them. Just like Mike, too many people still have my cell phone and call me at 2 o'clock in the morning when Walmart's employees get off the road. And so I constantly get those calls. It's so bad, if their truck is 30 minutes delayed getting to Las Vegas, they call me. And that's how important it is for our system. And Mike has done a wonderful job. And those guys are out there constantly working the roads and making sure everything is okay. So with that, any questions? I have 100 things, always. Let me mention, the zoning ordinance is it ties right together with the master plan. And, yeah, we'll do a few tweaking, things like that. The master plan on a 20-year vision, we're probably 10 years over updating our master plan, but it's a plan for Story County. It's a rural plan for rural Nevada. It's what you, and hopefully you, and the residents of Story County want to see Story County in the next 20 years. And I keep on, Austin's great, and you see all those committees that he's on, that he goes to? Now I have a life to go home. And so Austin is great and really looks at it. We talk constantly with the planning. Those documents come across me. How much information? We might have 30 versions, not 30 versions, but 30 times that draft goes back and forth between our desks before he gets into a final one where he's ready to take it to the Planning Commission. And so we see a lot of that. We talk about it. We tweak it. Pat's knows about it. And we want you to know about it, too. And we want your input. Thank you. Any questions? Thank you.
Thank you, Dave. Vanessa. Wow. First one, Bill.
I do. I have a lot.
I'm going to get up to the top.
Whole notebook.
What?
You can write a whole notebook.
Well, I got some notes. Like everybody else, congratulations to the new commissioners. You're probably wondering, after this meeting's been going for an hour and 45 minutes now, when Kershaw and Hess told you that they'd never be more than an hour long, you're already experiencing one. First thing first, pursuant to NRS 361-281, I'm supposed to give you a report before the 15th on any unassessed real or personal property. As far as I know, there aren't any unassessed real or personal properties. I'll follow that up with a writing to the county manager. This last year, I'm hoping the coming year is going to be less active, I guess is how I would describe it. To begin with, I've lost all of my employees. One retired, the other one ran for, and one the Justice of the Peace position. So I'm the only person left in the DA's office from last year. I have a new extern. Renee, could you stand up?
I was going to ask.
Renee Hamasi, she's going to be working for the next 4 or 5 months as an extern. She's going to graduate from Gonzaga. Once she's completed this externship, she'll be studying and taking the bar this July. I unfortunately haven't been able to get rid of my old extern. Because I have the vacancies in the secretary positions, and because he worked for me for nothing for 5 months, I'm going to pay him through June to be a deputy DA. He's passed the bar, so he can handle some of the criminal stuff, which will save me time coming over here for arraignments on traffic and a few other things. So he'll be here until probably June. On top of all of the employment turmoil, as you all know, we moved our offices this last year. I just today got the new furniture for the downstairs office, so literally we started in May, and hopefully by the end of this month I'll actually be moved into the new office. We, in this last year, had a relatively large amount of controversial civil issues that we've had to deal with. We had the Comstock resident or Comstock mine special use permit process that we had to go through. That was in front of both the Planning Commission and up here in the County Commission. We had we closed the library, which was a controversial issue. Took a fair amount of time. I actually ended up attending, I think, 3 or 4 of the library board meetings. We had the Terramina Towers situation. First of all, it went through the Planning Commission and then came up to this commission, but we ended up eventually got sued down in federal court. We settled that suit. That settlement was approved by this board. We have the I'm trying to read this. I wrote it too. Oh, we're in the process now of condemning the firehouse out here at the Highlands, something that everybody's been asking me to get to for probably since I've been here. We also had the Labor Commissioner complaint that we dealt with down at TRI. We got that resolved. I think satisfactorily we got fined $5,000, but compared to what could have happened in that case, probably wouldn't have, but what could have, $5,000 is a nickel compared to what could have happened. Probably one of the more significant things, and Austin Osborne is mostly responsible for this, but I did have to sit through all the Planning Commission meetings and the County Commission meetings. We redid Title 17, which is a phenomenal accomplishment. We basically passed 280 pages of new planning ordinances that hadn't really been looked at for a number of years. And part of the reason we ended up doing that is we deal with the ordinances on a day-to-day basis. The master plan's more ethereal, and now that it's passed, it's going to save the planning department a considerable amount of time. Bob Morris, who I have hired on a contract basis for $75 an hour, which is just barely more than what I'm paying Mr. Treffinger, but with his experience and expertise, that's a real buy, I can tell you that right now. And Bob has done an excellent job in terms of advising and helping Austin on writing that new zoning ordinance. The VCCT, whatever it is, the Tourism Authority and Convention Authority. You changed the name, and I just got the initials down on the last one. We relocated that. That was another thing that Bob worked on. Then probably finally, the criminal cases that I've had this year, and I got to compliment the sheriff's office. They do an excellent job in the arrests they make, the reports they give to me, and in the investigation. Little Melanie Keener over there, she's the investigator over there, is probably as good an investigator as I've ever worked with. And I've worked with the FBI, IRS, but she does as good a job as any investigator I've ever worked with. But I think we probably processed somewhere around 200 to 300 criminal cases this year. For the future of my office, my priority in terms of moving this county forward, as you can, almost everything that I've mentioned is just day-to-day stuff that I have to do that I can't avoid doing. But what my long-term goal is to look at every part of our county ordinances, and to the degree that I can, update them or change them. This year we have, I know Bob is looking at a new nuisance ordinance. He's also looking at a new animal control ordinance, neither of which have been looked at for a long time. So what I hope to do for a long-term project, a long-term goal for the next 2 years that I'll be here, is to get the ordinances as rewritten as I can, and if not rewritten, at least look at them and make sure that they're up to date and there aren't some statutes that have been passed that we're ignoring. Backing up just a little bit, when I decided to run for the district attorney position, there was the district attorney and then a deputy district attorney and then two full-time secretaries. I did away with the deputy position, which I think was probably a savings of about $150,000 a year. On top of that, I don't think we've gone to outside counsel much since I've been here, which by estimates is probably another $100,000 a year savings.
Just Charlie.
Okay, we did have Charlie. But I've tried to do as much as I can and not go to outside counsel. I think there's a lot of legal needs that aren't being met that need to be met. I've tried, my stopgap way of dealing with that is to have externs like Renee and Treffinger, and who was here earlier, Ben Walker's kid, Scott. But I think probably in the not too distant future, you know, now I've got Tim there. Basically, I'm going to pay him $30,000 to do the same thing that we were paying $150,000 a year before. Bob, I've committed to pay him $45,000 working on these ordinances. So and it really isn't that much, probably for $50,000 we're getting the same legal needs net for probably, you know, We're saving somewhere around a couple hundred thousand dollars a year doing that, but I think probably not this next year, but in this next budget cycle, I'll be asking for a new deputy DA to begin in January of 2014. It'll probably be Ann Langer. She's committed to run for the district attorney's position. She did once before and just barely missed getting elected. I think she probably will, so I think it'd probably behoove us to bring her in, get her familiar with the county while she's not the DA. So I'll probably be asking that in this next budget cycle, but that's a real quick summary of what I've done and what I want to do in the future. Any questions?
Thank you, Bill.
Did I take less time than Dean or more?
I was trying to get over to this time.
First off, especially to Commissioners McBride and Commissioner Gilman, I echo the congratulations and thanks for your commitment to serve and to join the team. One of the good things about being last is oftentimes great staff and great team players pick up most of what you say, so I'm going to speed through my part because I'm watching people squirm out on these seats, and either the benches are hard or the bathrooms are going to be busy or both. So real quickly to address a couple of comments that have been made. In no particular order, Mr. Phillips' comment about expanding a list of Judge Pro Tems. I've already spoken with Justice of the Peace, that has a good sound, Harrington, and I believe her intent is to use a combination of Pro Tem and senior judges. Senior judges do not have to be appointed. They're available to work any circuit, to the best of my knowledge. So that would probably see us utilizing Judge Daniels, and there are a number of other senior judges, but Judge Daniels is a no-brainer because the per diems are essentially zero since she lives in town. So I think that's the approach our new JP is going to take. I want to remind you, we will be meeting, half the staff is confused today, but Tuesday. And now I'm confused, but today is Monday, obviously. We will meet next Tuesday, January 15th, in a regular meeting. So Vanessa, Bill, and I were supposed to meet at 1:30 today to finalize that agenda. Mr. Phillips and I will only opine on half of what he said, not the accuracy of the financial disclosures, but just again a reminder to all on staff and to you folks and to our former commissioners, I believe we'll be required to file an exit financial disclosure, but those disclosures are due by the 15th, and the various departments that you go to, I think Sec State for electeds, and we go to Nevada Ethics unless they've changed that. They are ruthless with their daily penalties should you miss those. So you want to, if you put anything on your calendar, put January 15th on there. I want to address just briefly the comments that have been made relative to plowing. Good, Mike. I'm glad you're still here. I don't know why I was crazy, but I spent Christmas in Denver and the next week, and it was cold just like it was here, and it snowed, not to the same degree as it had here, but it snowed. I got to tell you, they don't plow city streets in Denver unless it's got 52 stoplights and a 65-mile-an-hour speed limit on it. So I think we in Story County, where we have road service, both out in the Highlands with the ones in the 10 associations, but also what Mike's able to do countywide with only five people, we're darn lucky, because I sure as heck didn't see it when I was on vacation, and I had to pick my way around that town every day. So to put the spotlight appropriately on where I feel we want to go, subject to your direction, there really are probably two priority goals as we start each year or every other year, as we have done now. The every other year is the Nevada legislature. They go into session at the beginning of next month, and it is a constant process of making sure that our interests are protected, both in our participation with organizations like NACO and our selections of lobbying strategies that we may pull off throughout the years. Now, I'm going to come back to that in just a minute. The other one, every year, and this morning I kicked off what I call a streamlined department head, public safety department head focused meeting with about seven or eight of the departments, and the rest that were not here for that will be here next Tuesday, will hear the same message. It's the first of the year, it's budget time. As Hugh said, we've got to start thinking budgets.
We need to nail down those revenues so we know what we can do. You just heard Mr. Maddox say January of 2014, I'd like to have a deputy DA. The answer probably is going to be, as we work through the process, where's the money? You know, I'll be honest, what I have seen out happen so far as new startups, so Dean's very good about the number of new businesses out there, and I think Lance, you would probably attest to this. We need more buildings coming out of that ground because that's, again, where those revenue sources go. We know now PERS is going up. We're going to fight like heck to keep our medical benefits costs from going up, but those are the challenges that we have. So working with that, we've learned over the years that every penny we can save counts. And to that effort, I looked at our lobbying strategy, which traditionally has been three levels. We have Maggie Lauther, who works under a minimal contract as a retired employee. She does consulting for us and research on items, and then she attends essentially every legislative session, every off-session meeting, and really slugs through all the work, and then also gives us what I would call the entry-level lobbying. For the past 4 years, at least, maybe even five, we've partnered three sessions, so 6 years, we've contracted with Walker and Associates, Mary Walker and Steve Walker. Steve is state-renowned, if not national-renowned, on his knowledge on water rights and water issues. So when we go to bat for, you know, water allotments and those types of things, we frequently turn to Steve. Mary Walker is a financial genius. There were questions on CTEX. We can always talk to Mary, and Mary can explain, you know, the myriad of processes that CTEX go through as you have one on your agenda today. So we're going to continue with both those contracts. They are low-dollar contracts, and they have both agreed to not increase their prices over previous contracts in past years. The third one was a kind of a difficult but I think exciting situation that presented itself. For the past, at least again, two sessions, we've used Yvonne Murphy in a partnership, in a public-private partnership. And actually, it's a public-public-private partnership because we took our portion of what we used Yvonne, and we made agreement with the school district, where the school district picked up 50% of our portion of the contract, and the county did. Yvonne has moved on to other opportunities. She's a high-level, very experienced, highly qualified lobbyist, and I hope and trust her loyalties to the county. We'll still have her out there watching out for our best interests, but her primary focus will be in other areas. And so what I did was I advertised first internally for a low-salary director of government affairs. I had one applicant, and I had the applicant I hoped for, but I wanted more. And this morning, I offered Bob Hess the staff position as a part-time government affairs director. Bum will also be working together with Lance, myself, Dean, you know, a whole hodgepodge of characters on economic development as well. And this will be a job structured, you know, mostly similar to Joe Curtis's. It's not a full-time staff job by a long shot, but it's one I'm very comfortable giving. And in doing so, we were actually able to save, between the school district and the county, we were able to save $12,000 a year in costs. So that kind of ties you back to the budget. So wanted to make you aware of that one. And lastly, and this is probably maybe for Commissioner Chavanga's benefit, definitely for the public, because Commissioners McBride and Gilman know this. I want to tell everybody I'm very proud of the two of you. And the public who elected you should be very proud of the two of you. I came in during Commissioner Hess and Commissioner Kershaw's tenure, so I can't speak to this. Commissioner Sarbanian definitely put in a lot of work in between the time he was elected in November and the time he was sworn in January. And you guys have met and even perhaps surpassed that in your commitment, your participation at NACO, your attendance at economic development meetings. You guys have been working for free for over 2 months, and I don't think, including Bill, but acknowledging Bill in the same group, I don't know if we have ever had
two newly seated commissioners that are coming in as aware and as ready to hit the ground running as the two of you guys are. So I can't tell you how much that makes life easier for the entire staff and the entire team, and I thank you guys for that.
Okay. Okay. I'd like to, if I may, I know we have time for a break, but I want to follow up with this topic. I believe that your assignment for Bum Hess is the finest assignment that I could choose. And I want for the folks here to know, I started working with Commissioner Hess as a lobbyist 14 years ago. And in our state, our little county is always under siege. When I first got here, Washoe County was going to absorb us. They were going to annex Story County into Washoe County and take over and operate us. And that was one of the first fights that I sat through and watched in Carson City. And I can tell you that Bum Hess has, if you're to hire a person, a man, to represent you who is capable and qualified, I think he's related to 90% of the state. I don't know if that's a fact, but I can tell you that everyone suspects or respects him ultimately. I can tell you that he runs with Mark Amaday, and they're friends. And I can tell you that that Dean Heller and he played basketball all the time. They were kids. And so if you want someone, if you're going to hire someone to represent our county who knows where the bones are buried and knows how to speak and can walk into the governor's office, get an appointment, and get a return. So I know there's been some speculation on ex-Commissioner Hess, but I'm going to tell you from my heart, I don't believe you can hire a finer, stronger representative for this community, and I wholeheartedly support that.
Thank you, Commissioner Gill. Welcome. Any other questions, gentlemen? I think I've talked to you guys enough to where you know.
Okay, let's take a recess. I know everybody.